Interview with Viola Mitchell for the California State College Bakersfield California Odyssey Project by Stacy Jagels at 411 Belmont Avenue, Oildale, California, on Monday, January 12, 1981, at 10 a.m. Okay, why don't you tell me about your childhood first, about when you lived in Oklahoma, your family, what it was like growing up in Hollis, Oklahoma.
Well, I was born in Spiro, Oklahoma. That's in the east. And we came out to Hollis on a wagon train, three wagons, but it was a wagon train. And we moved to Hollis when I was 13. And I was in the second grade, so I passed myself to the third. And then when I started, had been going about 2 days, teacher passed me on to the fourth, and then she needed a teacher to, because she's sick 2 weeks, so she wanted me to teach, and she passed me on to the fifth. And then I graduated from eighth when I was 15, and we lived on a farm and rented land. I was raised poor, real poor. Had one dress a year, one pair of shoes. You know, these young people, they just can't hardly believe that, much as is today. But that's the way I was raised. We always had plenty to eat and plenty love. Our folks always give us love and plenty of food, but we didn't have much else. And then I married when I was 17. I didn't finish high school. I started, but I didn't finish. And seemed like first year there's one baby, and then the next year there's another, and the next, and 5 years between all four of them. And I was always happy, though. I was healthy and was happy. I found something to do all the time. Kept my babies clean. And peace quilts and all that kind of stuff. And then we didn't have it quite as hard as some people after WPA, I think. Wasn't that that work program? My husband was ahead of it, and he got he's the boss over it, and he got a lot more work. Every time anybody went and worked, he went and worked, and they'd work in groups. But we had a neighbor down there that had 8 children, and one time I made a plum pudding. We didn't eat it all, and I took it down there, and when I come into the door, kitchen door, their table, I had a great big pan full left, and I started over there and put it on the table. I didn't know for sure if they'd want it or not. But you know, they got those kids, they grabbed the spoon, and they had that pan as clean as a whistle before I got down over to the table. That's how hungry people was. And then my mother and dad and my husband, they wanted to come to California. Mama had a cousin out here that said that we could get work out here. So my brother had an old Ford, T-model Ford truck. And my mother and dad, my dad always, anybody that didn't have a home, didn't have no place to stay, they'd stay at our house, at my dad's. And this man was come there, and he had TB, and he's sick. So Papa put him to bed, and Mama cooked and waited on him, and got him where he finally got where he could get up. And when we came out here, he came with us. And there was my mother and dad, and 8, 7 children. And this man made eight, and then there was my husband and I and four babies. Wasn't even 5 years old, so I guess there's babies. And we left down there. We had to sell everything. Oh, I hate to sell my sewing machines bad. And I sold it, and we sold everything we had, and got in that truck, 16 of us, started out here. We come the southern route, and got down to Arizona, and something burnt out in the truck. I'm not enough mechanic and don't know enough about machinery to say what burnt out, but anyhow, they took a meat skin, a bacon rind, and put in there. My husband did. He's a good mechanic. And we came on, parked down under an old shade tree down by a little old creek there. And he fixed it. We got in there and come on. But, you know, the thing was up high, and he done all the driving, taking care of the truck and everything, my husband. And so the kids getting in and out and all that was left up to me. When I got out here, I couldn't even get up out of the chair without some help. And we moved out on a leash here to Mama's cousin lived there. And they had some of the meanest kids I ever saw in my life. I thought they was going to kill all mine, it's bigger. So I told my husband, I said, we're getting out of here. I said, some way or another, we're getting out of here.
Why don't we go back just a minute, and maybe you can tell me a little bit more about your family when you were growing up in Oklahoma, how many brothers and sisters you had, and what your dad did. Whether he was a farmer or a sharecropper.
Oh, I thought I said already we lived on the farm.
Yeah, well, did you own the farm?
No, we rented it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that. But we rented it, and it was that we had gyp water, had to use old gyp water, kind of like taking those salts. And I worked in the fields, and there was nine of us, nine children. Two was born after I married. Three. There was six there at home. And my mother and dad, we raised hogs and corn and maize and cotton, mostly. There was no fruit in that country.
Mm-hmm.
When I come to California, and you could go out and pick fruit and keep half of it and give them half, I thought I was in hog heaven. Boy, get all that good fruit and cost nothing.
And when you left Oklahoma and came to California, it was because times were bad, and there probably weren't many jobs. But were there any other reasons why you wanted to come to California?
Well, actually, I didn't want to come. It was my dad and my husband that got all this up about leaving, and my we didn't farm. We lived in a farmhouse. And he worked a little bit for this man that owned the house because he's living in his house to have farm. But my dad couldn't get any money to farm on. I think's the reason he wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was government money or some way or another. Anyway, he couldn't get the money to farm on. And we didn't, like I say, we didn't farm. We just, he worked, but there wasn't no work. There wasn't no jobs. You could go out and work for 50 cents a day, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't work for that, only for that man. He worked there to help him out a little.
Do you remember much about the drought or the dust storms?
I tell you, I saw it. The dust blows so hard back there that you, I put a wet rag over my face to keep from breathing it down my lungs, and the rag would just be muddy on top, just like you put mud on it. It was terrible. And all the crops would blow out, and dirt pile up against your house, real, a lot of dirt, real high.
Did your father or your husband have any special reasons why they wanted to come to California?
I imagine so they could find some work. And
they thought work was in California.
Well, Mama's cousin, she wrote to him. He lived out here on the lease. And he said if we'd come out that they could get a job. And they did. But there wasn't too many jobs here. But it's a lot better than it was back there. And we landed out here on April the 16th, 1935, and lived there them a while. And I told my husband I wanted to get out of there, so he borrowed a tent, and we moved up on the associated lease. Didn't ask nobody or anything, just moved up there. And the truck had a, you know what an overjet is? Had an overjet on the back of the truck. And so we put that up. That was our kitchen. And then the tent was our living quarters where we slept and everything. And all we brought was our clothes, our bedding, and our dishes. And when we got here, I always said, well, we had $6 and four kids, dollar piece, for all of us. That's what we had, too.
On the journey from Oklahoma to California, how long did it take you? And on the way out, what did you do for food and shelter? Did you have some money with you?
Well, we had what we'd sold our stuff for to pay to come out here, and we was 14 days coming. We left there April the 2nd and got here the 16th. And we would stop and cook beside the road, and we come the southern route, and you know those sugar sands down there in Mexico? Well, I told the kids that that was sugar. And when we stopped there by it, well, they all run out there and tasted of it. Wasn't that mean? Oh, boy. And we was coming on, we got up almost the needles. And I'd heard how selfish and everything people was out here. And the wind was blowing real hard, and all the kids is crying because they're hungry, you know, wanting something to eat, all the kids. And we couldn't stop and cook because the wind was blowing like mad. And we come along there and we saw an old garage-like building sitting there beside the road, and then the big nice house up here. And so we went up and asked them if we could cook in that garage so we could get a windbreak. No, sir, they wouldn't let us cook in that garage. We had to come in her house and cook. Oh, my goodness. I thought, oh, my God, the kids will drop. They had rugs under the table. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm afraid the kids will drop something on the floor, you know. So we went in and cooked, and she just put more grease in the skillet for the potatoes if there wasn't enough, and real, real nice. And we eat at the table, and kids didn't mess up like I thought they was going to. And I thought, well, people don't know what they're talking about, and they think Californians are so hateful and mean. These are good people. And they were.
Did you find that most of the people you met in California were nice, good people? Did you ever have any bad experiences when you first came?
No. Everybody was good to us. We lived up there on the hill, and every day I bathed the kids and cleaned them up. And people seemed to really admire me for it, you know. And lots of people, lease owners and things, come up and visited us and complimented me. Said, oh, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep these little babies so clean in this dirt, you know. And they give us a lot of stuff. One lady gave us, she took a rug up and put a new one down, so she gave me that, and I put it in the tent. Well, gee, that made it nice. And then they gave us clothes, and their kids would outgrow, and I always sew. I could sew all my life, I guess. And I made the kids pretty little dresses and things out of their old things. And it's all good to us. And then the people that owned the lease gave my husband every time, you know, they'd have, they couldn't hire a hand all the time, so they just had somebody come work once in a while when they needed them to pull a well or something, and they always give him the work. And my goodness, we thought it was really something, really getting over. It was pretty nice to have a little money. Of course, he had to walk. We didn't have no car. When we first got a car, it was a little, I called it a T-model Chevrolet pickup, little old pickup. I don't know what model it was, 22 or 4 or something. And I got to go to the store then when we go get groceries. And Mr. Miller's store up there at Aztec. And everybody in there would, whose children are those? They're mine. I don't believe it. You ain't nothing but a kid. Nobody believed those were mine. But they were. I know one time I made my son, oldest son, a whole suit out of a pair of pants. Vest and coat and pants. Oh, he looked cute.
So your husband usually worked in the oil field or with well, something like that.
When we first came out here, he went to Camp West and Lowe. My dad was working out there. He worked out there quite a while. And he got a job of cotton chopping, and he hoed halfway through the field, and the hoe wasn't sharp, and he was going to sharpen it, and the guy bawled him out for stopping, and he just throwed the hoe down, walked out, said didn't want to hoe cotton anyway. So he's always the kind of person that he didn't dwell much on little things. He dwelled on bigger, making more money and doing bigger things. If he's gonna put a fence up, well, he'd get the things to pull the wire with. He wouldn't try to stretch it by hand. I mean, he just, that's the way he was. Anyway, he worked for what he could, and then we got to move over and Spencer's garage. Boy, I was so happy because I had a wall and a cement floor. And then we lived there a while. And then Mr. Dickey over on another lease that he worked for sometime had a house, and he let us have it. and we got a house to live in.
And about what year would that have been when you had a real house to live in?
Well, it was probably in the same year or the next year, maybe 36.
Did you know many other people in your situation, people that had come from Oklahoma or Texas looking for work? Did you know many?
Yes, I knew quite a few. I have a lot of cousins out here that come from Oklahoma, and then my aunt, and I have a lot of people here that come from back there. And I know a lot of people that came from Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas. We lived up there in the oil fields mostly all time, and went to Aztec school, and it was a little school, and you know nearly everybody in little places.
Okay, why don't you tell me about what you did on an average day, what your activities were at that time, taking care of your children, or whether you ever had to go out and work yourself?
My husband never did like for me to work out, but when the children got bigger, I took them out to pick up potatoes and pick cotton because they couldn't go out in the oil field and work, and I wanted them to know how to work. I meant for them to get an education, but I thought, well, if there's ever a depression, I don't want them going out and killing herself because they're too, don't know how to work. So I took them out, and I gave them all their money and made them put half of it in the bank and spend half for, they bought school clothes and all them things. And I never did work out much. I worked sewing factory 3 months, and I worked one day at Penny's, and some of the kids got sick or something. And that was during the war because they needed people so bad, and I tried to go work, but it seemed like it wasn't in the books for me to work then. And then I worked at that shop, women's shop down there by the bridge. I can't think of the name of it. How come me to work there? I was going by there one day and I saw this woman laying in there on the floor, and I went in, and it was the woman's aunt that owned the place, and she's sick. And I helped her and helped her get up and everything. Then I helped her run the store. And she used to send me a birthday card and tell me I was the best friend she ever had and all that kind of stuff. I belonged to a lot of clubs and, you know, PTA and Home Ec and them kind of clubs. And I was chairman, or what do you call it, for the well baby, I run the well baby clinic 8 years. And tried to help all I could, the kids
when
in school.
When you first came out to California, you probably had your hands full just taking care of 4 babies under 5 years old.
No. I did a lot of things besides take care of them, like sewing and making quilts and just anything. I always was a person that had to keep busy, and I didn't keep too busy with 4 kids. I tried to teach them right from wrong and all that stuff, but I always knew where they were and what they was doing. But I had a lot of time on my hands to do other things.
Was your husband employed most of the time here when you first came out?
Well, when we first came, he worked here and there and yonder, but then he got, I can't remember just when he went to work up there for the American Naphtha Oil. They sold out to Getty's. In 1937, he went to work up there, probably. And he was assistant superintendent, and I'd done a lot of the office work. And Mr. Job run it. And we lived up there in the house. I know one time it's kind of funny. I had a paint gun. And I loved to paint with a paint gun. I used to love to paint anyway. And I was spraying the outside of that house, and Mr. Job come by and in the car, and in a little bit here come all the guys on the truck. Said, Mr. Job said, you didn't have no business doing a man's work for us to get down here and paint this house. But his wife done painting. I thought that's funny, though. I wasn't supposed to be doing a man's work.
Do you think that your husband and your family and yourself, you were pretty well off as compared to some of the other Okies people that you met?
Oh, yes, we were. Because there was an Okie camp down here by the river, what was called an Okie camp. And we drove down in there one day, and there's people down there living in, had rooms made out of pasteboard, and some of them had some tin cans nailed up for windbreaks and place to sleep and eat. This little old place is maybe big as that kitchen. I thought, boy, how fortunate I was. And I tried to rent a house here in Oiledale. Never could rent one. Every time I'd go to rent a house, they'd say, do you have any children? Yes, I have 4 children. Well, we don't rent to children. So I said, to heck with them.
Did you know any of these people that lived in the camp down by the bridge? Or other people that lived in small shacks like that in the fields?
I didn't know anybody that lived down here in this camp. At least I didn't meet anybody that I knew. But out on Camp West and Low, they had these little old cabins, I guess it's called. And there's a lot of people out there. And I used to know their name, but I've forgotten it. I know one time they had lots of clothes because it didn't take much to make a little old sunsuit, and I just left to sew. And I know one time I took a box full of little sunsuits out there and gave it to some of those kids, 19. I took 19, and I used to take when the kids outgrow their things, take them out there. And then I knew some people. I just got acquainted with them, but I didn't know them in Oklahoma, but they came from Oklahoma that lived up there. They just camped out where the old Safeway used to be, up there on Chester and China Grade Loop. And we helped them a lot, done a lot of things for them, give them a lot of clothes and give them food. It was a big family of them. I see their name was thought I'd never forget it.
Did you ever hear much about Okies who worked in the farms and the fields here in California and what their situation was like?
Well, on the ones I knew some, several that worked on farms, but just hard work. They worked and done without. They'd had something to eat, but that's about it.
Did you ever hear any about any unions or strikes or anything like that? Any kind of events like that?
I never knew that much about it. Never knew much about the ones I knew, there was on strike. I didn't know about it.
Do you remember the local people here in Oildale or in the Bakersfield area and how they felt about a lot of Okies coming into the area?
Oh, yes. One time they was going to stop them at the line, not let them come, you know. And they'd say things, yes, about Okies being out here and being mad because the Okies is taking the jobs and they didn't have any work and all that kind of stuff.
So you heard a lot. Did you read in the newspapers about it, or was this word of mouth that you would hear from other people?
Yeah, just word of mouth. That's what people would say. And cuss the Okies, that's about all they'd done. Cuss them because they come out here and took the jobs mostly, and they didn't have any job, some of them.
What other kinds of things did they say?
Well, of course, they thought Okies is low down and ignorant and everything else. They didn't have much respect for them. When my oldest daughter started to school, Miss Faust was her teacher. Mr. Faust was over the Associated Oil Company, was the superintendent down there. Anyway, Everly's going to school, and she went to school 2 or 3 days, and she come home, she said, "Mama, I'm not going to school anymore." I said, "Well, why, honey? Why aren't you going to school?" She said, "Well, I know more than the teacher." She asked a question and I answered it. She didn't know, so she knew more. So I went in and told the teacher about it. She got the biggest kick out of it ever was. Everyone going to school because she knew more than teacher. Teacher asked a question and the teacher didn't know it or she wouldn't ask it. And she answered it. Oh, boy.
Did your children ever have any trouble at school with the local kids that were born here in California? I've heard about some kids that would go to school and the other kids would say, "Oh, you're Okies," and tease them and they weren't very nice to them. Did you or your children ever encounter anything like that?
No. I don't think they had any trouble like that. My youngest son used to have trouble with the kids at school trying to... He'd start into the school door, maybe, and they'd run in first and call him Okie, you know. And he had a lot of fights in school. I always taught my kids not to pick a fight, but if anybody jumped on them, let them have it. and that's just what they did. No, I don't know. We always held ourselves up and demanded respect, and I taught the kids to do that. 'Cause back there at Hollis, if you didn't have money and own land, you wasn't nothing, you know. And I learned real young to hold my head up high, and if they said something to me I didn't like, let them have it. And I got respect, and that's what I kept.
How did you feel when you heard the bad things they were saying about Okies, when someone would say, "Oh, these darn Okies are taking our jobs away from us," or "These darn Okies don't know anything"? How did that make you feel?
Well, I just felt like if they're smart enough, they'd keep their job and Okies wouldn't get it. I felt like some of them weren't quite as smart as the Okies, or they'd keep their job. I always had something to say when they said something, because I felt like I was just good as anybody, and everybody's good as me. I don't ever feel like I'm better than people or people's better than me. But in fact, people didn't say too much to me. My husband was in a beer joint up there, and some guy got to talking about Okies. He's 6'2" and weighed about 185. And I know they laughed about it. My cousin laughed about it. He said, "This guy's popping off about Okies." My husband was from Texas. When Truman unwound, stood up, said that guy just almost fainted. He's afraid he's going to get his head knocked off. So things like that happened, but I never can remember anybody throwing it up to me about being Okie. I guess they're afraid to. He's afraid I'd get mad. Tell them off.
Do you remember, did anything violent ever happen in that connection? Do you remember hearing about any fights or arguments on the farmlands in connection with the Okies?
No, I don't think they was, they didn't have the union and they didn't do that then. I don't remember anything.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk of the Native Californians, people who lived here before the Okies came out. They kind of thought a lot of the Okies came just to get welfare. And on the other hand, a lot of people think that's not true at all. The Okies came out because they wanted jobs.
That's right.
Do you remember very much about the welfare programs, or the government aid programs? Did you know many people who got some help from the government? Or?
I don't know. I imagine most of them did a little bit. Mm-hmm. But most of them was like us. We wouldn't take charity. And that's the way most people were. They was willing to work and make their living, and they didn't want charity. I know they kept on, a bunch of them kept saying, "Why didn't we go down and get on relief? Why didn't we go down and get on relief?" Well, finally, I didn't feel like we really needed it. I thought we was doing all right. And so finally I decided that to more or less to please them, I guess. So I went in, signed up for it, and went and got commodities and had a lot of fun. I mean, flirting with the guys in there. I always did like to flirt. And getting my car full, and no woman got real mad at me. She come up there with an old ragged dress on and tore places in it and gonna try to get a lot of stuff off the relief. And shoot, I put the best I had on, dressed up and looked the best I knew how. And I got my whole back end of my car full. Sheets and pillowcases and dresses and I don't know what all. And I thought she was going to give me a whipping before I can get in the car and get away. She sure was mad, this old woman. But then I gave mostly all the dresses to these people that lived up here on the corners, camped out. They had some little girls that they fit, and I liked you know, those dresses. I didn't like them. Didn't like the way they's made and material and nothing. So I just give them to them. But I had a lot of fun going down there. And then I think we got one or two checks, and I quit getting them because I didn't think we needed it. I thought maybe other people needed it worse than I did. So.
Did your family go to church in Oklahoma and then again out here in California?
My mother and dad belonged to the church, but we lived way out on the farm, 12 miles from town, and their church wasn't out there. And once in a while, they'd have a Baptist church come out and preach, and they'd go, and I would. And one time they had I belonged to the Church of Christ, and they had this Church of Christ meeting out, and I joined the church. I was 13, and seemed like my dad, sometime he's a real good church member, and then he'd get tired of it. But my mom always belonged to the church. And then after we came out here, she went all the time, but he didn't, because he'd have to work maybe. And like I said, sometime he'd go all the time, but then he'd get tired of it and he wouldn't go.
How about you and your children?
We always went to church most of the time. They went to church, and my husband didn't go to church. He wouldn't go. He said when he was a kid, his dad gave $25, and he had to go without any shoes, and I don't know, he kind of hated preachers.
All in all, after you had lived in California for a few months or maybe a year, were you glad that you came out here? Did you feel that things were better here than they would have been if you'd stayed in Oklahoma?
Oh, yes, I was glad we came. But I never did like to move. You know, my husband liked to move. He won't move all the time. And one time I went up my mother's stay all day, and he come in the wagon and got me. Just took me over to another house. "Well, where in the world are we going?" He said, "Well, you live in a different house now." So took me on over to the other house. Had all set up and everything. He said the chickens jumped on the coupling pole. He didn't have to bother about catching them. And they just about was trained.
What happened about the time World War II came? Did you move or did you stay here in the same place? Did your husband change his job? Like
no, he didn't change jobs, but we lived down here in Oildale, and my daughter's getting too struck on the little old boy there, so I moved. She is 13, and I thought, well, I'm not going to have her down here in town right next door to him, and there's always together, and I just moved. And we moved out in the oil fields. You know, talk about keeping your house clean. We moved one day, and the front room up there needed papering, and moved and set everything up, and I always washed everything, cleaned it up when I moved, and did all that and papered that living room that day in one day. And now if I had to move, I think it'd kill me.
Did your economics get much better when World War II came? Did you have any more money, or were things much better?
Not much. They had a little bit of raise, but what didn't amount to much. And we'd saved up some money, and we bought 15 acres of land. And borrowed all the kids' money and put ours in, and bought 15 acres, and then we paid them back what they had in the bank. We always drove a good car, and see, we didn't have to pay no rent out in the oil field either. Of course, it took more money to live on account of you had to haul water and had to come downtown and back. Gas wasn't so high. But I had money saved up for my daughter to go to college, and she got married when she was 16, and about broke my heart. But she went on school after she married. She graduated from high school 3 years and one summer school. All A's. Not bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I made them promise if they married that she'd go on and finish. Because I always felt like an education was important. And I'd like to went on to college so bad, I never could. I started night school and took typing in two night school classes. I could type 37 words a minute without making a mistake. But nobody else in that class could do it. But my daughter separated, and her husband's fighting, and I had to stay home, take care of her kids. Always something come up that I didn't get to go back to school. And I really wanted them to be educated. My son, my youngest son, has a doctorate degree in science and petroleum engineering, and he's a professor at Golden University. He's over in Israel right now for some oil company. He goes all different places. And sometimes I wonder if he didn't get too much education. Gosh, he sure makes some money, though.
Do you still have relatives back in Oklahoma? Did you ever go back to visit there?
Oh, we went back every year. see his mother. And then in 1948, we went back and stayed 4 years. And then she died, and we come back out here. But he wanted to go back and be around her, so I thought, well, I get to be around my mother all the time, and so it ain't nothing but fair. And we went back there, and I belonged to the home ec club back there, and they sent me to Stillwater 3 times. And one time I got a blue ribbon for being the best newspaper, what, go out and get news, what you call it? The people that do?
Reporter,
yeah. And oh, I don't know. I was secretary of the club. A lot of different things. And then we came back out here. And we moved out on the farm. We got 25 acres. And stayed there a year. But my husband never did like to farm very well. He liked machinery. And when he worked up there for American Naphtha, well, he done all their electric work on the big electric lines and fixed all the motors and, you know, did all that kind of stuff. First, he started out working for him in the well gang, then they put him driller, and he worked as a driller, then he got to be boss over it mostly. All Mr. Job was gone all time, and so it was left up to him, and he got more money. We was married 4 years. Never had separated. Never. You know, most people separate once or twice when they're young, especially. And we had everything all fixed up, and trailers and boats and everything to go run around all over the United States, and he died. That's the way it is. You better have your fun while you're young.
When you were in Oklahoma before you came out here, do you remember hearing much about California? Did people talk much about what California was like and what kind of jobs there were here? That sort of thing.
Oh, yes. My aunt and my mother's brother and sister came, brought my grandpa out here. He had TB, and they brought him out here to go up there in Keene, and I guess that was in the early 20s. And then after grandpa died, well, they came back and stayed with us and visited and lived there for a while. And then they had a friend that came with them, and they always talked about you could get jobs and build it up, really build it up. But I didn't think anything about it because I liked where I lived. I wasn't the one that wanted to move. But I was glad I did, because we didn't have a car back there. And got out here and got a car and go places and do things. And then this much, life is easier here, even now. Because people don't give you stuff back there. If you get anything, you pay for it. If you, if somebody had a fruit tree, well, maybe there'd be one out of 20 that had some kind of little old fruit tree, and they wouldn't give you any of it. Well, out here, we could go pick up potatoes to eat. Never had to buy them, and then we go pick fruit. I used to can all my peaches and apples and make my raisins and make my, I used to make my chili and cheese back in Oklahoma, so after I come out here, I made them. And you grow a garden, have lots of stuff to can, and it's just easier. Make all kinds of jelly and sauces, and it was easier life for us here. You, back there, if you haven't got the money, you do that. And it's not that way here. People that want to, well, of course, you can't help anybody that won't help theirself. But anybody that wants to help theirself out here, don't make no difference how poor they are, they can get help. If they're not too lazy to work and try.
On your journey out here, do you remember what your first impressions were when you came into California? You probably came over the Tehachapi Mountains.
And yeah.
Do you remember anything about that?
Up there, I see a round globe. I think that's a mountain that is sharp curves, and you come around and deep down there, and ooh, it was scary. And the wind, somehow when you come around those mountains, the wind catches, there's a drift through there, a draft line. And we had this overjet on the truck, and we'd go around and the wind would catch it, and I know a lot more than once. We all had to jump up the other side and the wheels would be off of the ground. Going to turn over, and wheels had flopped back down on the ground. Boy. And then, you know, they go around the curve this way, and then they'd go around here and go this way, and we'd have to jump back over here and jump back over here till we got around those mountains, keeping going down the canyon. It was really scary. But we got over there. We didn't want to go down the side of that mountain.
You had, what, 16 people in the truck?
16. It was six brothers and sisters, and my mother and dad made eight, and there was, seven, I guess. I could count them, but there were 16, and this man and my family made seven, so there must have been seven of Mom and Daddy's kids, and then my mother and dad. All in that, we had a solid, I think there's two or three beds in there, and it was solid. It wasn't too bad. Only thing was hard about it was getting up, climbing down, and climbing back up with the kids. My husband drove. He wasn't about to take care of the kids. he could have come around and hand them up to me and it made it easier on me, but he's always doing something to that old truck to keep it running. Him and my oldest brother and Charlie, the old man that lived with us, rode up in the seat. And then the rest of us rode back there. My mother and dad and me and 10 kids.
I wondered if you could tell me a little bit more about when you were in Oklahoma. And you said that your husband was a boss at the WPA. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, that's the Works Project Administration, right?
Yeah.
And what was he a boss that helped people find work, or did he supervise people that were
That was a government job.
Right.
When the government started having these jobs to help people, well, he knew the nearly everyone in town. His folks is always the sheriff and all that kind of stuff. And he went up there and talked to the guy. I don't know if he's a commissioner or what. I don't remember what had that. But he went up and talked to him and get them to do these jobs. Like down at the schoolhouse, he got them to dig a cellar mm-hmm. for the good of the school. And then he could work each one in the community got to work a certain amount of days. And then he worked all time because he had to be there to see about it, oversee it, and do all the, tell them what to do and turned in the time and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Did he get pretty good pay for that?
Well, I think he got just a little bit more than they did, the workers, not much. It wasn't a whole lot of money, but we had enough to buy groceries, about all.
And so he wanted to come to California because he was looking for a better job?
Right. He wanted to come out here and find a job and go to work and make his family a living. And that's what we done.
Mm-hmm. At that time, I guess your dad was still on his farm.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get any money.
He couldn't get any money to make a crop on the next year, so they got together and talked it all up. When my husband came home, he just said, asked me if I wanted to move out here, and I said no, and he always could talk me into doing anything he wanted to. It didn't make no difference what it was.
Do you remember when the tractors became pretty common on the farms? Did that have anything to do with why your father's farm wasn't making any more money?
I don't know if anybody's had a tractor.
They were still with the horse and the plow?
Uh-huh.
How about the railroads? Do you remember hearing anything about the railroads charging so much money that the farmers couldn't sell their things and have them move to other places?
You mean back there?
Mm-hmm.
No, I remember they wouldn't let, I remember them talking about the bombs on the railroad. They kicked them off and beat them up and everything else. You couldn't hang a freight. And, my husband, when we lived back there, he went off to different oil towns and worked a little bit and make some money. So he decided he wanted to work in the oil fields. I guess that's his main reason for coming out here, that he wanted to get out here and work in the oil fields because he thought they made big money And it was the best pay. Used to, the oil fields is the best paying job there was, but it's got to where now that they're not the best, really. He did refinery work. He used to work down here at Golden Bear. Mm-hmm. But he liked to work out in the oil fields best of all.
Mitchell, session two.
Okay. First, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your family? I understand your maiden name was Maxwell.
Right.
And you were born in Spiro, but did your parents always live there in Oklahoma, or were your parents born someplace else and then they came to Oklahoma?
My mother was born in Arkansas, Possum Holler. And my dad is born in Indian Territory.
In Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
Before it was Oklahoma. Okay, and you were telling me a little bit about the work you did when you were a little girl. You said you did what was really a man's work by the time you were about seven.
Yeah, well, I started, my dad saw wood with a cross-cut saw, and I helped him. I pulled one end of it, and he pulled the other. And took horses and hooked them onto trees and helped clear land. And planted corn. Walking planter, and I had to put the harness on my own team. That was the hardest thing to do because I wasn't very big, and of course washed on the rub board and helped cook, wash dishes, take care of kids. My sister used to cry all the time. One time there when she was about a year old or so, and Mom made me walk her around till I got so tired I thought I was going to die, and I took her out and held her by her hands and twirled her around and around, threw her arm out of place. I was so tired I didn't care what I'd done to her. Get up in the night and take care of them. My mom never did get up and take care of the kids. I did. She didn't like to get up. She's too sleepy-headed. I took care of my mom when I was 9 years old. I took care of her when my sister was born. Took care of the baby and took care of her. Done all the washing, ironing, cooking, and taking care of the house. And then I always had to work in the field and do the scrubbing on the rub board. That's about all I can think of.
And when you first came out to California and you lived on the Associated Lease, you said you had a tent and you kind of fixed it up and had a rug in there that a lady gave you. Do you remember any of your children ever having any health problems or getting sick? Or do you remember any friends of yours that got sick?
Well, of course, my children I had to have the tonsils out, and my little oldest boy, when he's 2 and a half, I think, he broke his leg. And they're all jumping up and down on an old bed I let them play on out in the back. And he had San Joaquin fever when he was six, I guess. He said, "Mama, look at my legs." And I looked and I felt, and it looked like little BB shots all under the skin. Like scared me to death. And I run him up to the hospital.
What hospital?
Kern Dental. I doctored my own kids and my own family till we come out here. Then I did, and one time I took them up there because it's free, you know. Used to be free. And I thought, well, I'll just take them and let the doctor see. I don't know whether they had a cold or what, but that doctor really bawled me out, said, when'd you get licensed to be a doctor, you know? When your kids get sick, you bring them up here. Don't be doctoring them. I said, you're not a doctor.
And when you lived on a leash there, and then later in the garage, what did you do for water?
We, from the lease, we carried it or got somebody to bring a can up there, you know. And, either carried it or somebody hauled it for us. Wasn't no water.
How about food when you were on your journey out here to California, and then after you were here the first couple of years, you didn't have much money? Were there kinds of food that you couldn't have? What was your average diet like?
Well, we had fruit and potatoes and plenty canned milk, and I had to make biscuits 3 times a day. I made biscuits 3 times a day for 19 years, and I told my husband, I said, this is it. I ain't making no more biscuits. But they had plenty to eat, and that's how come I start going to these clubs and things, to learn what the body needed. And I always tried to cook a balanced meal. Of course, we didn't have ice cream was a treat, and candy and all those kind of things were a treat. If we got that, and once in a while we got us a milkshake, that was a big treat, a great big treat. But and we usually raised our own meat.
Even here in California?
Uh-huh.
On the land around where you lived on the oil field?
Yes, and we raised chickens, you know, and put them in cold storage and raised the beef and maybe a hog or out on the lease. Had to buy feed. And we raised rabbits. We usually had our own meat, and a lot of times we had our own milk, and I'd make cheese and butter and milk. And they had, the first 2 or 3 years, we didn't have all that. I see now, the first 2 or 3 years, we bought everything except went out and picked up potatoes and picked fruit. I mean, that was free. If you wanted to go pick it, maybe you had to give the owner half, but we never thought anything about that.
Do you remember where you went to pick the fruit and potatoes?
Well, my mom and dad bought the man's place later down here on Willa. We used to go down there and pick different kinds of fruit and go out to Arvin and pick fruit. I know I went out there and picked on the halves. And then people, you know, like somebody had an apricot tree, give us apricots. And potatoes, I usually went to the shed and got them for 25 cents a sack. Or either we'd go pick them up, and onions, we'd go pick them up after the plow, after they'd been picked up. Potatoes and onions. Used to go out on Edison to that shed and get potatoes a lot. That's all I can think of.
And you told me a little bit about the ditch camp down here by the bridge in Oildale, and how you visited there once.
Well, that's all there was to it. We just drove down in there to see how people was living in there. And
were you surprised?
I was shocked. Really shocked. Because this pasteboard box is nailed up for a house. And I thought, boy, if there's an Oklahoma, they wouldn't do that, because the wind would blow it all away. Cyclones and stuff. Hard rains, snows. They couldn't have lived that way. Then there's a lot of people camped out under this underpass over here on Norris Road. I saw them. But I know one time this guy had owned the, I think it was a beer joint or a gas station or something right on the other side of the bridge. Might have been a, I don't remember which it was, but he had everybody to bring toys for kids in that place, and my husband knew him, and so we stopped to see what they was doing. My God, he gave my kids a whole box of toys, you know, and I told him, I said, well, they don't need them. I said, give them to somebody else, and he said, well, they done give everybody else some. They got so many, I guess. Anyway, he gave them a whole box full.
Did you ever think about why those people lived in the ditch camps there? Why you and your husband were able to work and feed your children and live decently, and why these other people lived the way they did in pasteboard boxes?
Well, maybe, I guess because they just didn't know no better than to move in there. I wouldn't have moved in there if I'd had to. I just wouldn't. But it was almost, it felt like sometime I was going to have to, you know, because you couldn't get a house and you couldn't get no place to live if you had kids. But seemed like the people that lived in there, they might have come out of it and made something of theirself, but they didn't seem like the kind that would.
Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe they lived similar to that in Oklahoma? Maybe not in pasteboard shacks, but do you think they were the type of people that...
Some of them was, I know. I know some of them were. You could tell by looking. And I guess they just lived there because they didn't have any other place to live, and they had to be somewhere. It's all one thing. You know, Miss Roosevelt went down there at that camp. And I think she did something about it, didn't she?
They did try to get rid of the camp. Find other places for them to
live. Well, it seemed to me like, you know, anybody that would move into something like that just didn't have very much pride. They surely didn't, or they'd, I feel like they could have done something else if they'd tried. It was hard. It'd been hard, but I still think they could.
Did you ever hear much about the government camp in Arvin or the one in Shafter, or did you ever visit it or know anyone that lived there?
I never did.
I also wondered, I know you had to work very hard and you belong to these clubs, but what other things did you and your family do in your free time after you were here in California? What sort of things did you do for entertainment?
Well, we go out dancing once in a while, go visit her, my mother, and when we borrowed that man's car, when my husband did, and I give my kids parties, give them birthday parties and things, and then they could have wiener roast and all that stuff out on the lease because it's a nice place for kids to play. And I worked all the time, seemed like. I never did have much free time. When I was reading, I read an awful lot, tried to educate myself a little better. And always doing something like that rug in there by the bed. That's the first one I made. Won prize on it at the fair. And then I made, I guess, 15 or 20. And learned to crochet and all that stuff. And went, see, when my family's young, we cooked everything we had to eat. You didn't buy bread and pies or cookies or anything already cooked. You made it from scratch. And I learned to make all kinds of hot rolls, yeast rolls, and I learned all the things about cooking. And I like to get in there and do them.
You told me that you played all kinds of musical instruments.
I never did play them. I wouldn't say I played them, but I could start a tune on most anything.
Did you ever have an instrument to play?
When I was a kid,
did you sing together with your family? Anything like that?
Well, with my kids, yeah. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I played the guitar and sung. I never did have any other musical instrument. Except the French harp, and I couldn't play it, so. Oh, I could play a juice harp, and we used to play the juice harp, and they'd play it and bite their tongue, and yeah, I enjoyed my kids very much. My husband, he didn't help me with the kids. He got out and made them a living, and he said that was his part, and I had to take care of them, so I had to take care of them. It's pretty hard when there's babies because I didn't even have a baby bed. And you know, when kids are little, you got to run and get them out of stuff all the time. But I really enjoyed my kids. I guess my main aim in life was to be a good mother and raise my kids to be able to make decisions and take care of themselves and be somebody.
You must be pretty happy with them.
I am. None of them ever got into any trouble, and they've all got real good jobs. My oldest daughter's assistant manager of superintendent or manager, which is called, over the Fresno County Health Department. And then they done away with that job, so last year she's got another job that pays a lot more money, but I can't think of what it's called, but it's up there. And they all do good. So I'm real proud of them. proud of my son, that grandson that I raised too. You know, he's 25 now, and he went to high school when that dope was starting, you know, and all the doctors writing articles in the papers and things that is all right to smoke marijuana. You remember that? Made it hard for a parent to go against it, but I was real proud of him. He done all right. He didn't get doped up and all that stuff. And he has a good job now. Two children. Owns his own home. So I feel very proud of all my kids. Jim Scroggins was his name. I should have adopted him, but I hate to adopt a grandson. I thought, well, no reason to. And then when my husband died, I was 56, and I had to send him on to school and everything, couldn't get no help because I hadn't adopted him through the Social Security. Of course, I couldn't draw anything till I was 60, see. So, well, done all right. The kids give me some money, and I had some insurance. My husband left, so was all right, but sure aggravated me that my husband had worked 30-something years, yeah, and put into that, and I never got to draw a penny of it.
His retirement?
Into the Social Security. See, he paid in on that from the time it started till he retired, till he had to... Got real sick about a year before, and he died. And he drawed it, but long as he lived. But when he died, I couldn't get anything. And then had Jim in high school. Jim can play a lot of musics. He can play the viola and violin and accordion and just about anything. He can play them, but he won't hardly ever play. But he had a lot of music lessons. What I wanted when I was a kid, oh, I wanted a guitar so bad I couldn't hardly stand it, but we didn't get what we wanted.
Before I left last time, you mentioned a little bit about when you saw the movie The Grapes of Wrath, and we talked about the fact that it really wasn't the way people live. You said that, for instance, you never saw anybody digging out of a trash can or something. Is there anything else you remember about the movie that wasn't really right?
Oh dear, it's been so awfully long ago. I can't hardly remember anything about it. You know, since I had that concussion, there's a lot of things I can't remember. And it seems to get better, but it kind of blotted out a lot of stuff. I can't remember too much about it, but them having tubs and rub boards and everything tied all over the cars, I saw that coming down the highway, and I know that was right, and people, how they looked and everything might have been right, but that's about all I can remember. I remember, it seemed like people digging in trash cans and...
How about the way they talked, the language they used, some of the vile language? Do you think that was common?
Well, it could have been. It could have been. Because, I know out those camps where Mama lived now, of course, everybody didn't do, every person that comes from Oklahoma and lived out there didn't do that. But there's some that really, well, we called them old hellcats, you know. And they didn't care what they said. Didn't make no difference how what words it was. They, if they got mad, they cussed and used bad language. Nasty words, I call them. And I don't even remember the bad words in Grapes of Wrath. But that's probably, that wasn't too bad. I mean, too much wrong, I don't think. But there's a lot of things, I can just almost think of some, but I can't. I just can't.
You also mentioned, we're talking about your children and all the education they had, that sometimes they corrected you when you spoke. And we were laughing about that, that sometimes they correct your grammar or your accent. And I wondered how you felt about that.
Oh, I told them to.
You told them that you wanted them to correct your grammar.
Yeah, because I tried very hard to get self-education, you know. Mm-hmm. Seemed like I never could go back to school. I always wanted to. When my baby boy was 5 and started kindergarten, I wanted to go and finish high school, and my husband just had a fit, so I wanted to raise my kids myself. I didn't want to have to get out and work and let somebody else raise them. So I figured if I went on anyway, it might come to that. But I wanted them to correct me because I wanted to try to talk better, which I don't. I don't talk very good, but I won't do it. Well, like when my daughter started high school. Of course, you know, when kids start high school, they begin to get real smart, you know. And I didn't care for her being smart. Now, my dad wouldn't let me. If I learned a new word in school, and he wouldn't let me use it. He said I was showing off. And I didn't care for my kids showing off. I wanted them to think they was intelligent. And so I figured this way too, if Everly got to correct me in some of my words, she never was nasty about it or did it in front of people or anything like that. But if she got to correct me, that would help her, see? And I knew I didn't use very good grammar. Didn't use correct grammar. When you're raised my dad didn't have any education at all. And my mother just went to third grade. And he was a smart man. I'd save my life. I don't know why he never did go out and get a little education. Everybody said he was a smart man. But he didn't want us showing off. I guess he thought it made him look bad. And he had a temper that wouldn't quit. Red-headed Irishman. you didn't use your manners and things at the table, well, you just about got slapped away from the table and you didn't get to eat.